Hi everyone, I'm Jessica DeRuzza, and this is the Trust Psyche podcast on archetypal astrology and depth psychology. I'm a psychotherapist, astrologer, and teacher, and I absolutely love what I get to do. I work with people from all around the world and all walks of life in my private practice of working with individuals and couples, and I also get to work with clinicians where I offer supervision and consultation for folks who are seeing clients and in some way including astrology. I also run an online school with my husband Travis DeRuzza where we have courses that you can take right now, whether you're brand new to astrology or a lifelong professional astrologer. And we are just over the moon that we get to do what we love. Travis also offers archetypal astrology readings and does counseling. You can find us at trustpsyche.com, and when you enter your email address there, you will receive in your inbox all of our latest astrology videos, podcasts, articles, newsletter, and any events that we're doing. Thank you so much for being here with us. We love you. And we hope you enjoy this episode. Today's episode is dedicated to a beloved soul cosmic traveler who requested that I speak about the North Node. If astrology is real, then how can we look at the chart to help guide our souls into greater levels of being, into greater levels of creativity, expression, connection, love, or whatever it is that we desire in this human life? If astrology is real, then how do we move from the chart simply telling us about who we are into participating with who we can become? A deep and meaningful co-creation. We are at the same time apart from the universe. We come from the universe. And we're a partner with the universe. It's all of those things at the same time. And that's what we mean when we say a participatory worldview. So, when we look at the birth chart and we look to the North Node, we're looking to our North Star. We're looking to our compass to point us in the direction in which our soul, this lifetime, has chosen its evolutionary intent for greater growth, exploration, healing, and creativity. Except that the North Node in each of our charts requires a tremendous amount of trust or faith and courage to choose to live into, because it represents our future and our destiny and our dharma or soul's calling. It also is a place that can be extremely difficult to inhabit. It often feels counterintuitive to the way in which we are built, or our constitution, or our conditioning. Therefore, to choose to live into the North Node is a profound act of faith and courage. Now, that faith is rooted in a cosmology where, because astrology exists and because you are here because you believe in it. And because of your connection or relationship with the divine or source, you are given the fortitude and the great reminder to look to your north in the chart to help you live a better, exuberantly thriving life. And that's the key when it comes to the North Node. Now, hear how I'm saying the word choice. Because living into the North Node is a choice. It's a conscious choice that we get to make. We could stay in the South Node. I think many of us do. I think that our soul has such a deep knowing and familiarity with the South Node that it often is a more comfortable place to stay. It doesn't mean that there aren't challenges in that or discomfort in that, but I do think overall, because of its familiarity, because of the level of knowing or even mastery that you have in the qualities of your South Node, it's a natural reflex to go there, to operate from that place. Now, you'll know, if you know me, that we're never leaving the South Node behind. It has innumerable gifts in it that we draw upon every day. But because I'm talking about the North here today, what I'm pointing us toward, like a beautiful Cupid's arrow, is taking that leap of faith, stretching back the bow and letting it move toward the north. Now, whenever I feel scared in my life, whenever I feel potentially lost or like I don't quite know what to do, I actually visualize and call forth my North Node. I pray to my North Node and I ask it, what would you have me do in this situation? What is your wisdom for me here? Now, my North Node is in Aries in the first house, and it happens to be my nodal return right now. So it's a very fitting time for me to bring through this message. Our nodal return happens once every 18 years, and it is an initiatory rite of passage that human beings make universally around the age of 18 and 36 and so on. Today happens to be Good Friday in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ here on Easter weekend. And there's an aspect of the collective consciousness that is Christian and that is participating in these holidays that reminds me of the astrological holidays that we have as humans, like our nodal return. Imagine living in a world where parents ushered their children to 18, not just to graduate from high school and go off into the world, but because they've arrived in their first nodal return of hopefully many. Imagine the celebration and the ceremony that could happen there. A simultaneous reflection of the last 18 years and everything that's happened, but also the seeding of a new beginning of a new era of life, taking the wisdom from the last cycle, bringing it into the next, and then choosing even a greater courageous act of faith to how you're going to live even more into your North Node in the next cycle. I would love to do that for all of our universally shared rites of passage, like the nodal return or the Saturn return course, we do that for our birthdays, but there's so much more we could do there to ritualize our life together as a society. Very 11th house Aquarian vision of mine with my son in Capricorn in the 11th. Always loving these kind of humanitarian visions of what could be possible for our society. In any case, we're also here in the middle of eclipse season. And because it's eclipse season, today's March 29th, 2024, and the upcoming eclipse on April 8th is my nodal return eclipse. So it's a powerful time for me. And part of what I want to do here today is do some deeply personal sharing around the nodal journey, the transformative nodal journey. That is a psycho-spiritual quest of souls who choose to live in an evolutionary growth mindset manner. Now, we don't all choose to live like that, and that's okay. But for those of us who do, the nodal story is an important story of our evolution. So when we look to our north node, we, of course, are looking at both the sign and the house placement. But we're also looking to see, particularly if any planets are conjuncted, any aspect of a planet to your north node matters. But I'm going to kind of distill this one into, for me, my north node in Aries in the first house conjunct my moon in Aries. Now, what I want is I just want for what I'm about to say to wash over you. And I want you to do two things. I want you to notice what it activates for you. I don't expect you to share the same nodal journey story as me, but I would expect that through this listening, it's going to touch and activate your node in some way that I hope is deeply empowering and healing for you. And to just hear the way in which I make meaning of the node and then ground it and root it in my life. I often get asked this question as a teacher, where do you look to in the chart for this? Where do you look to for the chart in that? And it makes me realize that I actually want to do a whole seminar on where to look in the chart for X, Y, and Z and all of the big questions we get asked as astrologers. But for now, I'm just going to go ahead and do that for us with the node. It can feel very lonely, confusing, and painful to live into our north node because I think of two primary things. The first is that on a soul level, through our many incarnations and journeying through all the different dimensions that we do, we form certain energetic patterns and we have a tendency to gravitate around certain themes that we are learning about and growing around. Those repeating patterns often then get represented by your south node. It's the patterns, the energy, the tendencies, the dynamics, and the gifts that you're bringing into this life from your previous incarnations. I think it's like a recent clustering of archetypal themes that your soul is getting to experience and therefore learn and grow from. There also can be something unresolved in the south node, unresolved wounds, that are brought in. And so the north node as a direct axis and axis is the connection point of the continuum of moving into some of the healing for the south node by living into the north. Now, the second reason why I think it's challenging or counterintuitive to live into the north node is because of our conditioning in this current lifetime from our childhood. So a lot of the ways in which we were conditioned and our values were put into place by our family, by the communities we're in, are seen in our south node. So the south node biographically has a rich story to it because it's where a lot of, I think, our identity and knowing and even potentially self-worth comes from. But there's also pain there. Because it's not the whole story. It's not all of who we are. And in a way, we're ready to move beyond or grow beyond that thematic archetypal clusters of themes that we see in the South Node. It doesn't mean leave it behind. It doesn't mean throw it away. It doesn't mean dismiss it or anything like that. I'm not into any of that. But what it does mean is that there's more to the story. And so when we have the courage to move into the North, we actually get to see our human development and our psycho-spiritual development move into a whole other realm of being, which can be both exhilarating and terrifying at the same time, especially depending on how the people in your life around you, whether that's your family or your friends or your community, responds or reacts when you live into your North Node, which sometimes can be disruptive for them because it's different than what they're used to in you. It's different than the identity they know you in, or it's different than maybe even what they expect of you in the role in their life. It's always difficult for us as social creatures to disrupt the social systems around us when we change. It's probably the most challenging part of changing as a human being is the way that that impacts the people around us and their reactions, their feelings, their responses to our change and to our growth. It's probably one of the number one things that keeps people from having the courage to change. Because we are all deeply relational and interdependent beings. Now, I want to say that for me, having the North Node in Aries in the first house is about the courage to choose self. With my South Node in Libra in the seventh, I am deeply conditioned and skilled and masterful at relationship, at choosing other, tuning into other before self, and using all of my gifts and abilities for the other. Not for me, but for everyone around me. That I have the ability to understand human relationship, human desire, human needs. That I can intuitively perceive what another person needs and wants, often before they can. And so this makes me highly adept in being in relationship. And it's why a lot of people have liked me. Because, gosh, who doesn't like somebody who makes you feel really good about who you are, makes you feel special and seen, such a primary human need to feel seen and valued, and, you know, someone who truly cares about you, but also can have a tendency to please, to caretake, to fawn, to self-sacrifice, right? South Node in Libra in the seventh is excellent at self-sacrifice and self-betrayal in order to put the other person first, please them, make them feel good at the expense of self, which some people would call codependence and enabling. Now, I have infinite signatures of this South Node in Libra in the seventh house in my life, in my biographical life, which I'll share in a moment, but it's also why, in the really beautiful aspects of my life, my special interest as an autistic person is people. I love people. I always have since the day I was born. I love people. I love understanding people. I love relationships. I understand relationships. I love being in relationships. I love being married. That's a very seventh house thing. Partnership, marriage. I love collaboration. I love co-creation. I love harmony and beauty, reciprocity. These are my ethics. These are my principles. These are my morals as a human being. It's why I'm a psychotherapist. It's why I love astrology. It's why I studied sociology, psychology, culture, is because I love people and I love relationships and I love all of the brilliant creativity that comes out of human beings coming together. I truly love it. And I'm really good at being a part of that. So we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We don't want to throw babies at all because that's illegal. But, you know, it's like, it's incredibly important for us to recognize the gifts and honor them and even have immense gratitude for them. I mean, I make my livelihood from my special interest in people. I get to do what I love because of honoring that Libra South Node in the seventh. I also live a very creative life, a very magical life. And my friendships are incredibly important to me. And my friends know how much I love them and how I would do anything for them. But within that, you can hear how it would be easy for someone with a Libra South Node in the seventh to be taken advantage of, to be used for those abilities. And I have. And so a deep lesson for me this lifetime has been how to choose self. And let me tell you, folks, before I got into therapy, I didn't even have a self. I didn't even know who I was. I didn't know what I wanted. I was not in touch with my desires. If you asked me, what do you like? What are your desires? What do you love? I would not have an answer for you. I think that sounds shocking even to me now, but it's true. The first house is about the self. And Aries is about I am. Right? Libra is we are. It's a interpersonal sign, but it's moving into the second half of the zodiac, which becomes increasingly more collective oriented. Whereas Aries at the beginning of the zodiac is that initial burst of life that is truly about I am and the celebration of the individual bursting out of all of creation. So it has that Mars thrust and catalyst out into the world of individuality and pioneering. It's so fiery, it's so exhilarating, it's so exciting. But I just didn't know how to genuinely and authentically be in touch with that part of myself. And that's the thing about the North Node for all of us, is it's hard for us to know what that is authentically for us and genuinely for us, because the thing about right relation, which is what authenticity is it can only come from the inside out. There's no other place that it can come from other than within our own self. And if nobody asked you, who are you, how are you, what do you want, what do you love, but it was all about how you could serve them and help them and take care of them, then you're not going to know how to do that. So for a lot of us, nobody asked us about our North Node needs. For a lot of us, we haven't been given that guidance and that support to go into it. That's why it takes so much courage to live into it. Now imagine living in a world or being raised by parents where they knew your chart and they were like, oh my gosh, let me help facilitate this North Node process. Yay! Awesome! Have a little sign. Good job! That's your North Node. Woo woo! You know, getting that reflection from your parents or from your friends, like, whoa, you just did your North Node. And like building that muscle, because that's all it is. The North Node is a muscle we build through the practice of choosing to live into it. And it gets easier to live into it the more we choose to live into it and we see that it works. And that the proof is in the pudding and the genuine rewards of growth, if you're on a transformative journey and you love to grow, which I'm sure almost all of you here do, then there's something deeply satisfactory and rewarding that happens once we work through the uncomfortability and the not knowing, and even feeling really young or immature or inadequate around trying to live into our North Node, because that's often how it feels. So I think on some transpersonal level, when we look at the South Node, we're looking at a soul's evolution, as I said, through many different incarnations in these thematic archetypal clusters of growth and learning. But when we look at our biography, we then see that be brought down to earth in our childhood. And for me, one thing that often comes from a child who is conditioned to be a caretaker, a pleaser, self-sacrifice, fawn, give everybody around them what they want, is that lovely word of codependence, which essentially is just loss of self and self-abandonment or betrayal in order to make the people around you happy. And that often is a signature of a child of alcoholic parents and is what Al-Anon is all about, right? So I come from a maternal line of alcoholism and addiction and self-abandonment and betrayal. I also come from a long line of unmothered daughters. So we see that loss of self and enableism in the South Node there, but in the North Node, in my case, it's a bit paradoxical because my North Node's conjunct my moon. So if you have a planet that's conjunct your North Node, then that planet often is very difficult or challenging to live into. It's something that you can feel like it's impossible to do. You can feel stuck around it. It can be a huge question mark. It can be something that oftentimes we try and avoid because of either the confusion or maybe even the terror that lives in that place. So we have a lot of compassion for any planets conjunct the North Node. And in my case, the moon being the mother-child relationship, the maternal line, our emotional body, our family, our childhood, our inner child, our relational matrix, has in this life historically been a very challenging thing for me to do. And because I come from a line of unmothered daughters, when I was younger, I never wanted to have children. It was an absolute no exclamation point for me. And at my first nodal return, when the North Node transited my moon, there was an unexpected opening for me around this question of motherhood that was very shocking. And I mentioned it a little bit in the last episode on being autistic in the Aquarian age, but essentially my awakening into astrology and the archetypal realm, also simultaneously was my awakening into the, I'm going to call it morality of motherhood, a deep ethical care of what it means to usher consciousness into this world from the other side. And in that experience that I had, the question started out as, what makes a good mother? What makes a good father? And how do you know if you are one? Provocative question. Didn't know what I was asking. And then through that non-ordinary state that I went into, through a medicine journey, I was shown that if I wanted to be a mother, that from that moment forward, every decision I made to the best of my ability needed to be in service of that. Because there's not a bigger decision one makes in their life if they decide to have children. This only is if you decide to have children. There's not a bigger decision that you can make and how you choose to do that, starting with whom you choose to do that with, the setting in which you do it, and the willingness to do it as consciously as possible, which means that you are going to sign up for a lifetime of really intense growth. And that is to not be taken lightly. Because a large amount of the suffering in my own life has come from not having a father, being abandoned at a very young age, feeling like an orphan, feeling very lost, very confused, and very scared. And a lot of my adult life has been used to try and heal that. And there are so many other things that I would like to do and that I am getting to do now at this second nodal return, which is what this next nodal return journey is for me, is, and I'm just discovering this right now, this moment when I'm speaking, is it's over the last 18 years I spent in working on healing my childhood and my inner child and becoming a mother and raising my daughter. And this next nodal cycle for me is about enjoyment, that I've arrived and that I get to enjoy this now as I keep growing and learning every day. But that's the gift and the reward, because I have chosen the north. So because the moon is there, what I knew in part when I was looking at the astrology was, this is about me learning how to be a mother, which is a really difficult thing to do when you come from a line of unmothered daughters. There's not a lot of modeling there. There's not a lot of teaching, and there's not very much support. And so it's a very daunting thing to think about. And what I realized was that every decision that I made in one way or another got me to this moment of having a really, really lovely, magical family, a safe home, a loving relationship with my husband, Travis, and a loving, creative relationship with our daughter, Luce. And that inside of me, the fear of my North Node conjunct my moon was that I didn't know how to be a mother, and I was terrified until about 2 days ago that I wasn't a good mother. How do you know what a good mother is? Who measures that? Such a deeply subjective question. Who gets to measure that? And in talking with my husband and reflecting on the question and saying, you know, today's the day I choose to put that down, wondering if I'm a good enough mother,
I'm a great mother. There's nothing more in this world I care about than my family. And I will do anything for their happiness and to protect our world, our safety, our home, and the lives that we live. And at the same time, I know that the only way I can do that is by deeply choosing myself and having to practice the trust that by doing that, choosing what is for my highest good will also be for their highest good, and that I don't have to abandon myself to put them first, to make us a family, or to make them happy. That they actually don't want me to do that. They are not served by that at all. Much easier said than done. My reflexive tendency is to go back into that south node. I think with no matter how much therapy we have or astrology we have, when we're tired, when we're sick, when we're stressed out, we reflexively regress back into the south node, and that's okay. We have compassion for ourselves, and when we can, we come back to center and practice choosing the north again. And it's like, no, Jessica, your soul here is to learn how to choose self. And how that is what makes you a good mother. Because you never got to see a mother that was happy. You never got to see a mother that was fulfilled. You never got to see a mother in a thriving career. You never got to experience seeing a mother in healthy relationship. You never got to see a mother loving her body. All of these things, deeply lunar. That moon conjunct the north node was an incredible void, an incredible blind spot. There wasn't modeling there. We have to be modeled as human beings. It's part of the gig. Because we are deeply relational beings and so dependent when we're born on our caretakers, how our caretakers relate to us and then also live their life is the fundamental imprint that we carry in our being, consciously and largely unconsciously, which is also the moon, is embedded these primal memories that live in our body that we often don't have conscious memory of. And those are our caretakers. Those are our parents. How they live. And the secret there is that when I am doing what is right for me, I am not only nourishing and nurturing myself, which is what the moon is about, but I'm also regulating my nervous system. I'm calm, I'm centered, I'm present. And the greatest gift we can give our children is a regulated nervous system, because children's nervous systems draw from our calm. When we are calm, they can be calm. When we are thriving, they can thrive. When we are in love, they can be in love. When we are present, they can be present. It's the most simple thing, and yet I find one of the least talked about and practiced things within families. The majority of suffering and dissonance that I see in families today, and I'm saying this as a psychotherapist and as a mother, is from parents with dysregulated nervous systems, living in chaos, reaction, anger, dissatisfaction, and children living in a home environment and in a body, all the moon, that is chaotic or feels unsafe. And every problem we see in the world today is directly rooted in that. Every problem we see in the world today is directly related to that. We are genuinely parenting for peace because peace starts at home. It starts in our home, it starts in our bodies, and it starts in the relationship with our caretakers as children. That's where inner peace starts. It's why I have such a passion for working with children, working with families, working with individuals and couples, to better support them to get to this place of regulation. I don't think I ever experienced that once when I was a kid. And the anxiety that I carry in my body today, that I have to work on every day to move through, is in large part comes from that. And there's nothing like having a daughter in that maternal line that requires me in consciously parenting and choosing to parent for peace to the best of my ability, and perfectly so, to regulate my nervous system. That means taking time for myself. That's having a beautiful career, which I have. That's for only choosing to be in situations I want to be in, to not bringing drama into the home, to not bringing abuse into the home. Did you know that we are our child's first bully? The shaming messages that we give them, the way that we put them down or try to dominate them. Our parenting structure today is mostly comprised of profound hypocrisy and a hierarchical top-down model of domination and control that comes out of a parent's unresolved childhood wounds and feeling powerless in the face of a child being a child, being developmentally wherever they're at in being a kid, getting triggered, and in that needing to regain a sense of power and then somehow making the child feel bad either through spanking them, making them cry, shaming them, so that the parent can get a momentary alleviation of their sense of powerlessness and regain power over the child. And so you want to know why we live in a world today where our government looks the way it looks, why we're going to war, why we're unhappy with our bosses? It all starts in the parent-child relational dynamic. Now, this is an extremely difficult place to live into because it hasn't been modeled to us, and there's a new generation coming online and people waking up from the older generations who are choosing to do better and saying sorry and taking responsibility. It's happening. It's incredible. Very difficult. Because the more generations there are behind you in whatever those dynamics are in your family patterns, usually the more difficult it is to release those energetic patterns. And that it doesn't just happen in a medicine journey. Yeah, that can help, but that it is a daily practice of choosing to do differently. I actually didn't realize the profound ethical devotion that I've had to children and motherhood until this past week. I had two experiences that took place that woke me up to this reality and seeing myself more clearly in that telos of the North Node. became a psychotherapist because I didn't know how to be a parent, and I knew that I wanted to be one. And so I went to graduate school to learn about child psychology and development. It was really important to me that I did my best to understand how this parent-child relationship worked. My first training was with children, and the greatest gift that I got out of that experience was realizing that when you work with children, you don't do talk therapy. And I don't even like calling it that, but essentially it's a shorthand for you to know with you sitting down with a child to talk to them about their life. You don't go, so tell me what's going on. What are your problems? How do you feel about your parents? Kids don't yet have the ability to answer those questions in that way. So it turns out that we do play therapy. This is the great work of Violet Oaklander from Windows to Our Children. Absolutely changed my life as a psychotherapist and as a mother, a future mother at the time. And essentially, it is that not only do children share more when you're playing with them, but actually it is through the play that the healing takes place. So this roots into our cosmology here, which is that it's symbolic. So play therapy is symbolic play. And it's the way that psyche works, no matter what age you're at. And this is what's so wonderful about astrology, is it's through symbolic play, language, metaphor, and all these different techniques that we can do that facilitate a natural healing process by getting to talk about and integrate any event that's happened in our life, good or bad. And it was in working with these kids and seeing that play therapy actually worked, not only were they opening them up more and sharing more, but that through the play, we were working out whatever issues were going on for them at home or at school, that I realized every single person I met on this planet, including all the adults that I love working with, and that now my practice is all adults, I know that this is still going on. That means we can be anywhere, anytime, doing anything, and I can hear symbolically what's going on for a person and understand what's going on for them enough to be able to use some of those gifts of that South Node in Libra to relate to them in a way that has the opportunity to facilitate some kind of transformative process, if I so choose. For children, there is no difference between play and learning, between play and life. For children, it's all play all the time. And I would argue that for adults, somewhere in our consciousness, the same is true. It is all play all the time. There is no difference between play and life. We have seemed to have forgotten that, which I think is where a lot of our adult dissatisfaction comes from, because let me tell you, most adults are boring as fuck and lack imagination. And why I don't really like to hang out with people like that. However, folks who are still playful, sign me up. The other thing that happened, and I'll end with this, is this week, our daughter Luce got her formal evaluation to get autism diagnosis, so that we chose to do that as a family because we get more support. We get more services, more help with occupational therapy, speech language therapy, and it also helps Luce in the school system and for us to better advocate for her. So our family chose to do that. We chose to go with someone where it would be the fastest turnaround time with the least amount of impact on Luce. I think we made the best decision that we could. However, it brought up a lot of emotions for me because of two things. One, though this psychologist was doing their best to be kind, they were not themselves autistic, or I did not find to be neurodiversity affirming. I actually think that it's unethical for a psychologist or psychotherapist to give an autism evaluation without either being on the spectrum themselves or being highly trained by someone who is autistic to give those evaluations in a compassionate and informed way, and then get the feedback back from autistic folks that they felt that it was kind. I think it's unethical. Now, when you walked into this room, it was fluorescent lighting. Awful. I have a huge light sensitivity. Inside of my house at night is the most cool experience ever. I live in one of the most beautifully done lighting situations. And I used to think it was because I was really into psychedelics and raves and parties. But it turns out I'm autistic and I have a light sensitivity. And when LEDs came out and all their awesome rainbow colors, you know, I decked out our home in it. And it's so beautiful. I just thought, oh yeah, no. Turns out that's like awesomely autistic. And you walk into this room and the fluorescent lights, and immediately you can't think, you're cringing your eyes, and you go in there and there's not one single sensory toy in the room. First of all, it didn't care what kid you are, neurotypical or diverse. That room was boring as fuck. The toys were lame. It was not conducive to play therapy. I don't even think they were doing play therapy, which is also confusing. I don't know what other kind of therapy there is with kids other than that. Okay. And there weren't, yeah, no sensory toys. And then it was the comments that were made. These comments of, there's something wrong with you. You're delayed. You're behind. We got to catch you up. No, nobody's behind. Nobody's delayed. There's not anything wrong with anybody. When you try to make a neurodiverse kid like a neurotypical kid, you're causing them harm. It's unkind, and it is 100% ineffective, because the definition of being autistic is that we develop differently. We have a neurodevelopmental difference than people who are neurotypical. When I saw that, it brought back all of my training and all of the reason for being a therapist, which was to be a good mother, to be loving, kind, present, empathetic, choosing to grow, choosing to look at myself, choosing to be better every day. And learning, I went to grad school to learn how to be in a healthy romantic relationship because I had never seen one in my entire life. And that is not an understatement. I never saw one. I didn't know how to do it. I was in a very, very toxic, abusive relationship at the time I started grad school. And I knew that by the end of that process, and I stated it out loud before I went into grad school, and I said, I'm going to come out the other side of this. And if this relationship is not healthy, I'm out and I am finding my person where we can have healthy love. And that is exactly what happened. And I thank grad school for helping me learn how to transmute some of the toxicity of the South Node in Libra and the Seventh of unhealthy, enabling self-betrayal, relational dynamics. See, it's confusing because I love people in relationship, but at the time I didn't know how to do it in a way that also took care of me, which isn't really care. That's not real love. That's conditional love. That's not unconditional love. And so it was through grad school that I got to heal and transmute a lot of that unresolved South Node wounds that I brought in, that we all bring in our own way, by learning how to not abandon myself so that I could actually be in a healthy adult relationship. That was first and foremost. And then it was how to have a child, how to be a mother, how to raise a child, and all of that, which, for the record, I am learning about every single day. I mean, hello, I'm a psychotherapist, and I didn't even understand autism until last year. Hello, I'm a psychotherapist, and I didn't even realize I was autistic till last year. So, you know, we're all here on the growth train. Choo-choo. And so, lastly, is it just that experience was just like, whoa, man, we got a ways to go here around the medical model being autistic, which I 100% think it needs to be removed from, because the medical model is inherently based on neurotypical development. And so neurodiverse folks will always feel othered and less than in the measurement of that model, which is inhumane and honestly just gross. So brought up a lot of feelings this week, but what it did do in this nodal return of mine was it awoke me to the fact that I have been choosing my North Node and that I have been working really hard over the last 18 years of this last cycle with my moon there. And it's still something that is challenging for me. But what I want to offer to you here in closing is see if you can find a mantra or a phrase for your North Node that really resonates for you, that gives you the courage to show up each day and choose it, to show up and shine, to show up and do whatever that is for you, and to really sit with that and explore it, and even ask your North Node, hey, what would you do in this situation? Right? So instead of using astrology to just tell us about ourselves, which is one way, perfectly wonderful way, but there's also another way. There's this participatory way, which is we can ask our chart and say, hey, and pray to it and say, hey, what would you do right now? Help me choose what would guide me into my north to unlock my future of new possibilities of creative expression in this life. Sending you all so many love and blessings during this eclipse season, during this Jupiter-Uranus time. I want to let you know, if any of you are looking for psychotherapy, I have a spot opening up in April. So whether you're new, a new client, a returning client, or a client I'm already working with but you want to meet more frequently, which I always love, please reach out to me at jessica@trustpsyche.com, and yeah, we can see if we would like to go and do that together starting in April. Also, if I highly recommend getting an astrology reading from Travis. It's really potent to get readings in or around eclipse season because of how much is both being revealed, how much is coming in, how much is going out. So you can reach out to him at travis@trustpsyche.com for an astrology reading or counseling. And you can see our entire curriculum that's there. We've been bundling all of our courses together, and you get 20% off when you buy all our courses at once. And it's so much material, 5 different astrology courses. And lastly, my dear friend and colleague, Matthew Stelzner, is teaching his upcoming course, Tarot and Flow, Making Magic with Astrology, Tarot, and Altar Practice. I took this course in 2019 and loved it, but I've also seen how much Matthew has grown and developed over the last 5 years, become a husband and a father, and now is 30 years into his tarot and astrology practice, and I think it's going to be a really powerful ritual experience. So you can come to our website, trustpsyche.com, and see where you can sign up for that, and you get 20% off of that over the next week. So I encourage you to check it out and sign up. And as always, thank you so much for being here with me. So now, at the end of this episode, I realize I have the answer to my question that I started at the last nodal return. What makes a good mother or a good father? and it's choosing a regulated nervous system. It's choosing to live a life of being regulated. And when we come out of regulation into dysregulation, the chaos and confusion and reaction, we do our best to move back into regulation and to apologize and say, I'm sorry, whenever we react to our children in a way that's unkind or disrespectful.
Yay.
So glad to have found that. So incredibly glad.
We are dreamed into existence. What we do with that dream is up to us. How we dream is as important as what we dream, for the what of the dream knows itself through the how.